That's right. The kids are all right.
The kids are all right. The kids are all right. The kids are all right.
I read a story this morning in the Washington Post about a mom and dad who got in trouble for letting their kids walk home from the park. The police got involved. Child Protective Services got involved. The kids are 10 and 6 years old, and the park is no more than a mile away from their house. And when I saw this story, I said, I got to get Lenore on the phone. Lenore Skenazy has been on the show many, many times ever since she became known as, quote, the world's worst mom, because she dared to let her child ride the subway in New York City alone at 9 years old. And she started up a movement and a website called freerangekids.com. And actually, she's going to have her own TV show debuting next Thursday night on the Discovery Life channel called The World's Worst Mom. Lenore, I'm glad you could make time to join me this afternoon.
It's been a whirlwind. I was just talking last night to the woman who was arrested, you know, the family that's going through this whole ordeal down in Maryland. And I'm happy that it has caught fire, because this is just an outrage. I mean, you know, outrage is a word that we use a lot because it just sounds like it's tough and we're flabbergasted. But this is an outrage, because this was a 10-year-old kid with his little sister, age 6, and the parents trusted the children, they trusted the neighborhood, they trusted their own judgment, and somehow the police are saying, you're not allowed to do that. You must be hysterical and dream up dangers like we do, and then you're allowed to parent. You should only parent from a position of paranoia.
Yeah, because anything could happen to your kids,
and it's
dangerous out there.
Right.
Yeah, but as you and I have discussed many times, the world is actually so much safer now than it was when we were kids.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm happy about that, yes. The crime rate is lower, and sometimes people say, oh, the crime rate's down because we are helicoptering over our children. And I'm like, well, we're not helicoptering over our adult males, and crime is down against them, and we're not helicoptering our adult females, and rape and assault and murder are all down. It's like, it's almost like, oh, don't tell me life is safer. I want to be in my bubble of fear. It's like, okay, be in your bubble of fear, but don't impose it on me as I choose what I want my kids to do.
Absolutely. So you've actually been in touch with the mom in this case.
Yeah. The mom wrote to me like a month ago, because this whole thing was starting, and frankly, I've been chronicling their story.
Yes.
on Reason.com, where I'm a columnist now. But thank God the Washington Post jumped on it yesterday, and that sort of loosed the floodgates, and I'm very happy about it, because
okay.
It deserves national attention.
So what did the mom, Danielle, tell you happened when the cops showed up with the kids? Because they saw them walking home from the park. They put the kids in the car and drove them to the house, right?
They did. I mean, what probably happened, and we don't know what actually transpired right before this, is that a busybody saw children on the street, imagined that they must be in incredible danger because there was no adult Velcroed to them, and so called 911. And then what we know is then the police did swoop in. The kids were halfway home on their mile-long walk from the park. So the cops came, put them in the cruiser, brought them over to the parents' house. The mom actually was out of town, so the dad was there. The poor dad, who grew up in the Soviet Union, you know, dreading just this thing, a knock on the door from the police.
Yeah.
And so the police get there, and they tell him, you know, are these your kids? Yes. Okay, well, get your ID. And he's like, no, I'm not going to get my ID. You know, he's come here for freedom, right? I'm not going to get my ID. You don't need it. These are my children. Go get your ID. And I'll call for backup, is what the police said, policewoman. So he starts going upstairs to get his ID, and then they say to him, and this is on the blog I put in Reason, because she wrote me a whole letter about this, if you come down with anything other than your ID, shots will be fired.
And they said that in front of the kids.
In front of the kids. Kids are hysterical. Oh, my God, daddy's going to be going to jail or shot by the police. So then the dad comes down with his ID. He takes the police aside to talk to them. And what the policewoman says to him in chastising him for letting his children have any iota of freedom is, don't you watch TV? Sorry, I had to pause there, because as if that would make him more rational and understand dangers and actual, you know, crimes in his neighborhood better. But
yeah, don't you watch the major medium that creates fear in this country?
Right. Don't you watch Law and Order? Actually, somebody once wrote to me about that. Well, how did you let your son go take the subway by himself? Don't you watch Law and Order? I'm like, whether I do or don't doesn't really have any appreciable effect on reality because that's fiction.
Yes.
So the cops leave, and then a few hours later in comes the Child Protective Services, and they have a safety plan for these children. They're going to see the kids, and they're going to see the parents on Monday. So they say, you have to sign that you will not let them out of your sight until at least Monday when we talk to you. And he says, no, I'm not going to sign that because I don't think they're in danger. And they say, well, then we'll just take your children away.
Oh!
Yeah. So he signed. And now we don't know what's happening next. I mean, Tuesday is when they have their meeting with Child Protective Services. In the meantime, they were visited again by a CPS worker who had who shows up at their doorstep, and they said, you know, we agreed we would meet you at your office, but not at our home. And, of course, they want to inspect the home, looking for nefarious things. I'm sure they're looking for crack pipes next to the homework. And so the parents said, no, we're not going to meet you here. We'll meet you there. And then the mom looks at the guy's lapel and says, wait a minute. Is that a sticker from my kid's school? Did you just sign in to my kid's school? Did you go and interview them without our permission? And, in fact, that's exactly what he had done.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So the kids have been interrogated. The parents have been intimidated. And Tuesday, their fate is going to be decided by Child Protective Services, which obviously cares a lot more about the safety and upbringing of these two darling children than their own parents could.
Now, I'm curious. Do they have any evidence after talking to the kids or walking around the house with the parents? Do they have any evidence that there's anything being done wrong by these parents?
Well, the evidence, first of all, I don't think they ended up in the house, but the evidence speaks for itself. These children were outside unsupervised.
Oh, of course. That must mean that they're neglected.
Yeah, there you go.
by what law? Is there a Maryland law that allows them to do this?
You know, actually, I think there is some kind of Maryland law that says if you put your child in danger, then you are an abusive and neglectful parent. And, you know, frankly, I agree. If you put your child in imminent danger, if you leave them on the railroad tracks, if you shoot them up with heroin, if you pimp them out, you know, beating them. I want Child Protective Services to protect children.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not against the idea of protecting children from danger, but this is not danger. And that's what's interesting is that if you do watch TV and are of the belief that there is a predator behind every bush and that stranger danger is the greatest thing facing our children today as opposed to obesity, say, never going outside, or if you really feel that children are in constant danger every time they leave the house, then you will think that the parents did put them in danger. Now, who gets to decide? I mean, I don't think they were in danger, and yet the state believes they were. And so that's what scares me. I think we need to refine and redefine what we consider danger or who gets to define it, because otherwise we're at the hands of danger hallucinating CPS workers.
Here's something interesting out of the Washington Post story about this, that the parents say that their son told police that he and his sister were not doing anything illegal and are allowed to walk. Usually, their mother said, the children carried a laminated card with parent contact information that says, I am not lost, I am a free-range kid. But they didn't have their card that day. That's how I knew I had to get you, because I figured figured that you were involved in here or were their inspiration.
I was their inspiration. I mean, when I spoke to her yesterday, it was the first time I actually spoke to her because I'd just been emailing back and forth. And I was saying, like, well, if you're going on TV, you might want to remember to point out that, you know, we overestimate danger and underestimate kids, you know, a couple of my talking points. And she started saying, like, yes, and I tell them, really, the least safe thing we do every day is drive our children in cars because that's the number one way people die, you know, children die. And I tell them that if you wanted your kid to be kidnapped and held overnight by a stranger, you would for that to be statistically likely, you would have to keep them outside for 750,000 years before it became statistically likely. And I'm like, wow, you sound like me. And she said, well, I got it from you. I read your book, I read your blog, and it makes sense to me. And I was like, I felt like a mom. I mean, I am a mom, but I felt like I was her mom.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I had raised somebody who, you know, internalized, I don't think I'm trying to propagandize here. I'm just trying to present reality versus hysteria.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a great way to put it. Reality versus hysteria. Now, do the mom and dad, Danielle and Alexander, do they have a lawyer involved in this?
That I actually don't know. I know that they're talking to a guy who is from this thing called the National Association of Parents, which fights for parents' rights, particularly their constitutional right to raise their children the way they see fit. But I don't think he's literally their lawyer, so I'm not sure what they have in terms of representation.
Wow. So to next week is when the CPS is going to visit them, you say?
No, Tuesday they go to CPS itself and find out their fate, I guess.
This is a remarkable story. I'm glad you were able to share some of the insight because you know these people. Now let's take a minute here and talk about your new show.
Oh, thank you.
World's Worst Mom, Thursday nights on Discovery Life. What is it?
It's like the super nanny. I'm like the super nanny, except instead of dealing with bratty kids, I'm dealing with parents whose anxiety is off the charts. They're like a mom who takes her 13-year-old son into the ladies' room with her because she's afraid he would get raped if he went to the men's room. Or another mom who let her 8-year-old have a skateboard, but he can only stand stock still on it on the lawn. Another mom who feeds her 10-year-old son sort of still in his mouth some of the time. She says it's just to make things go faster, but it looks really weird.
You mean she won't let him cut up his own food?
Well, cutting up is a separate issue. No, she won't let him use a knife. But the fact of the matter is that when it's cut up, then she puts some on a fork and makes him open his mouth.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So in a way, you think, like, well, these people have nothing to do with your average parents because they are so overwhelmingly nervous. But in fact, they do share a lot with every other parent that I've ever met in my life, which is they love their kids, they want the best for them, and they're nervous. Maybe more nervous than everybody else, but still nervous. And what I do with them turns out to work with anyone, and you could do it yourself this afternoon and change your life, which is that I sort of lock them in the house for 4 successive afternoons and take the kids outside and say, okay, today you're going to the park. Today you're going to climb a tree in the woods. You know, come back in an hour. Here's a watch. Today you're going to go to the mall. Go to the bathroom if you have to. I'll be sitting at the cafe. And basically, I just let them have the very, very normal childhood experiences that we all had a generation ago without anybody going, oh, my God, they're walking around the mall, or, oh, my God, they're building a fort in the trees behind their house. It was just normal stuff that has become dangerized because we're in the same, you know, the same climate that would throw parents, you know, go after parents who let their kids walk home from the park. So I let them do all these things, and when the children come home, and they've just had a lemonade stand, or they just climbed their first tree, or they found grapes in the forest, and they come home and they go, guess what, Mom? We forgot to put the sugar in the lemonade, and everybody was joking, and it was really fun, and they're so lively and happy and like puppies, and they're so proud. The parents who had been like glaring at me or crying to their sister on their phone, which seemed to happen from time to time, start going like, wow, then what? You did? That's great. Wow. And they are so transformed that, like, one mom had never let her 10-year-old ride a bike. It's the same one she fed in his mouth. And so one of the challenges was, okay, today I'm giving him a bike. And I gave him a bike. And I can't say he was a champion bike rider at the end of an hour, but he could do it a little, and he was very determined. And by the time we were done, he could go, like, in a little circle, you know, nothing big. But anyway,
with a giant grin on his face, I'm sure.
A giant grin on his face. And here's the other grin. When the mom saw that, and this is the pain of doing television, the television cameras are outside, and the mom comes running inside to her own mom, the kid's grandma, and says, guess what, Mom? Sammy can ride a bike. And the grandmother, Russian grandmother, says, what? Sammy can ride a bike? And she's like, yes, Sammy can ride a bike. And they're dancing around, and they're hugging each other, and they're so proud and happy. And these are the people who wouldn't let him ride a bike until I got there.
Right.
So all I'm saying is that reality is so much better than the fears that build up in your head that all you have to do is brace yourself for an hour of discomfort and let your kids go run an errand or play outside or walk to a friend's house, and you will change your life, and you'll change their life too.
You know, Lenore, this year, millennials are going to overtake baby boomers as the largest living generation.
You're kidding.
Yeah, no, really. The kids who were born from the early 80s to the early 2000s, which I believe means that they would coincide with the beginning of the helicoptering parents movement.
True.
And so here's what we need to do. We need to stop them before they repeat these mistakes.
You know what? I've heard some demographic people suggesting that this generation of parents might not be quite as crazy as the one right before it, because they're just too self-absorbed to spend all their time, you know, chasing after their kid at the playground and standing underneath the monkey bars. And maybe that's great for everybody.
And because we all rebel against our parents at some point.
Yes.
I don't want to do it the way my mom did it or dad or whatever it is. So, well, maybe there's hope for Generation Z or whatever's next. Lenore Skenazy, check out her website, Free Range Kids. Read her column in Reason.com and look for her new TV show debuting Thursday night on the Discovery Life channel called World's Worst Mom. Thanks for coming on and talking about this story, Lenore. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. And thanks for all the plugs. I appreciate those.
You're very welcome. It's always a pleasure.